Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 318, Tuesday, October 10th, 2023. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. Each time I record an episode, I post show notes, photographs, and links to things I talk about on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. You can support this podcast by making a one-time contribution or becoming a contributing member on Ko-fi, and you can find all of the details for how to do that either through my Instagram account or via links on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. Today's episode contains the following segments: On the Porch, Ever-Expanding Skill Set, and Off the Shelf. Hello, everyone, and welcome. I am coming to you from a seasonally perfect Tuesday afternoon here near Delaware Water Gap, Pennsylvania. It's just after 4 o'clock. I came home from work, all geared up to record this podcast, and I'm looking forward to talking to you about my knitting and upcoming things. So thanks so much for joining me. If you had been hoping to get in on the Advent Puzzle Exchange, the links for the signup are still open, and they will remain open until Sunday, and probably on Monday the 16th, Mary Beth and I will work together to pair people up and send out emails letting you know more information regarding your partner. I'd like to encourage you, if you were thinking about joining the Advent Puzzle Exchange, to get on it and get in the fun. Maybe you're a little more in the mood for something Advent related now than you were when I was first talking about it. And so the signups will stay open until October 15th. So give it a go. Add your name to the list. Get in on this fun. If you haven't been tuning into this podcast, here's like a quick update on what happens. What happens is you receive a puzzle that is in little sections that you put together each day of December, and they form one large puzzle. In order to get this magic in your mailbox, you need to make a puzzle and divide it up into small sections so that you can send it to someone. All of the details are included in a special episode all about this, and then there's a sign up to a Google form. So give it a go. We'd love to have you. The quarterly winner of the Ko-fi drawing, this time the drawing is for some cards and prints that I made while I was dabbling in printmaking over the summer, and some other goodies that I will tuck in. Go to MJ Packer, who made a one-time contribution to Ko-fi sometime during this quarter. So congratulations, MJ. I will be mailing you your prize within about a week or so. I will do a drawing for the final quarterly prize of 2023 sometime just before the holidays. I'm not sure what the solstice is, maybe the 21st, something around there. And it is sure to be chock full of some goodies from Rhinebeck, some handmade things from me, and you'll want to get in on this. In order to do that, all you need to do is make a contribution via Ko-fi for the time between September 23rd and December 21st or thereabouts. You could be a monthly member, or you could also make a one-time contribution. And I will do that drawing and send out the prize sometime around the new year. Listener contributions really do make a very big difference, and I am so appreciative of your support at any dollar amount. So thank you so much. The New York Sheep and Wool Festival is coming up. I'm planning to attend along with my friend Mary Beth, and we have tickets to take in wool and folk as well on the Friday before the festival. We are also very excited to be helping out at the Hudson Valley Textile Project booth. This organization has its own booth at Rhinebeck this year, and it will be booth 28A, which is in the tent area between buildings 28 and 29. I'm not sure of the time of our shift yet when we will be helping out, but I will be promoting that and letting folks know through my Instagram account as soon as I find out what it is. And Mary Beth and I would love to visit with you at Rhinebeck. This is a great way to find me because I will be in the same place for a period of time, and also because you want to see all of the amazing things that the Hudson Valley Textile Project is doing, and also learn more about Clean Fleece New York, and this is the perfect place to do that. So I hope if you are at the festival, you will stop by that booth. Speaking of Rhinebeck, going to Rhinebeck, need a Rhinebeck sweater. And I have been knitting Darta, a design by Inez Song. It's contained in the Neons and Neutrals collection. And I have been knitting that in Jameson's of Shetland yarn in the colorway Moss, which is just drop dead sumptuous. So since I talked to you last, I have completed the sweater and I have wet blocked the sweater to loosen up the stitches and soften the yarn. I really like the way this sweater turned out. It's a pretty basic, pretty simple sweater. It's knit from the bottom up. I knit it in a cropped length with 3/4 sleeves. The statement feature of this sweater is that there are 6 twisted rib columns going up the center front, and just to the outside of each of those twisted rib columns is attached a ruffle in some kind of mohair or mohair silk blend. And this, says the designer, is the invitation to kind of play with color and texture and try something bold. So I have determined to use some mohair silk yarn that is from Carol of Foster Sheep Farm. It's her Bert and Ernie. It's about 459 yards per 50 gram skein. She had dyed it in walnut to be this beautiful, soft off-white color. This summer, when I was at Peters Valley for a textile camp, I wound off about a third of it, it turns out. I didn't really know at the time, and I plunked it into one of the dye pots, and it emerged a brilliant hot pink. And so I've decided to use that for my ruffles. The combination of green and pink can be polarizing. Some people like it, some people don't. I happen to enjoy this combination, and I think that the forest green of the sweater kind of grounds this pink. It is a hot pink. It's difficult to photograph. It kind of blows out the photo most of the time when I try to take a picture of it, but it's lots of fun. And it continues to be fun, even though I realized that at the very beginning of this project, we're talking August when I cast it on, I screwed it up and I did not place the twisted rib columns the way the designer had intended. I space them in an equidistant fashion, and really the first two are supposed to be quite close together. So you get this tuxedo style ruffle. There's nothing I can do about it now. And Inez Song was so kind as to make a comment to me on Instagram and to post the sweater photo to her stories. And I said, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed that I flubbed the pattern and that these columns are not in the right place. And she was so sweet and so kind and said she did not think it would matter. You know, the ruffles will sort of take over and be the star of the show, and it won't be noticeable at all. So I'm very grateful for her, to her for saying that, and really jazzed up about all of the compliments that this sweater has received, and I'm excited to be wearing it. Of course, weather permitting, hopefully it will be a nice, crisp seasonal time at Rhinebeck weekend, but I do plan to wear it at Woolen Folk and at least one of the days that I'm visiting Rhinebeck. And to go with the sweater, I am working on sewing an Amy jumpsuit in a deep magenta color that I think will be a great garment in itself, something I will wear with lots of stuff in my wardrobe, and also something that will specifically work with this particular sweater. I would say I'm about 95% finished with this sweater. I just have three more ruffles to add to the front and then kind of tack them down and weave in the ends for the ruffles. All the ends are woven in for the sweater. It's beautifully blocked and I love the fit. Speaking of the fit, I was encouraged by my friend FiberTrek, Sarah Hunt, to talk a little bit about cropped sweaters in this episode. Recently, I have knit quite a few cropped sweaters, and I thought I would share some of the reasons why I enjoy them and some tips if you are thinking about trying a cropped sweater. I think a cropped sweater is a great option because there is definitely a reduction in knitting time and expense with a cropped sweater versus a more traditional length sweater. And they work with my wardrobe because I tend to pair them with garments that have very long lines. And most of the time when folks are apprehensive about a crop sweater, they're apprehensive about something kind of cutting them off right across the middle. And usually the waistline and the hips are something that we don't want to draw a lot of attention to visually. So garments such as an A-line dress, a long flowing jumpsuit, or very high-waisted pants, some sort of pants where the waist starts right under the bust. These all create long lines that carry the eye sort of seamlessly over the waist and hips. You can also create this kind of a long line by wearing some sort of tunic, a top that has long lines and sort of carries through the waist and hip area. A super crisp and classic look would be a white or a black button-up shirt that has kind of like an extended hemline, and it extends, you know, past the waist, maybe even skims the hip or goes over the hip. And these sorts of garments create this nice long fluid line, and wearing a short or cropped or even a sweater that ends at the natural waist can be a really interesting choice, because paired with a garment like that, it becomes really the star of the show. It's like a great canvas for a bright color, an interesting yarn, a great pattern texture or color work or something like that. They really tend to stand out in a pronounced way when they're paired with those types of garments. I think a cropped sweater is also a great way to take a risk without the same amount of investment in time or money, like if you want to use a really precious or really expensive yarn, or maybe hand spun where you don't have a lot of it, or you want to try a technique with knitting that could be very difficult, or you're not really sure if you're going to like it. Certainly, just knitting a cropped version of a sweater as opposed to like the full sweater is going to make all of that a little bit easier and maybe a little bit more manageable. Some, but not all, crop sweaters often have short sleeves or cap sleeves or no sleeves or almost like a little vest or a slipover or something like that. This is becoming a very popular style. But that doesn't always have to be the case. One of my favorite cropped sweaters is a modification of a Marie Wallen design, the Bresse sweater, which has a very traditional color work yoke and full length sleeves that go all the way down and cover my wrists. And I love that sweater. So it doesn't always have to be like this edgy modern look to a sweater. It could be something that's quite traditional, but in a cropped version. One of the things for the individual knitter to determine when knitting a cropped sweater is exactly how cropped it should be. Cropped could be anywhere from like just under the bust line to somewhere around the natural waist. And these could be knit top down or bottom up, but in general, you want to have an idea of how much knitting should happen between the bottom of the armhole and the hem. And so going to a full-length mirror and trying out this look could be a great way to determine how much knitting you actually want to do on the body of the sweater for it to be cropped, to find out what feels right, what looks right with your clothing. And so to do that, I recommend that you wear a garment that is the garment or very much like the garment you plan to wear with the sweater. So wearing a jumpsuit or pulling on some very high-waisted pants to kind of give you that visual line, that can be really helpful. And then also wearing the undergarments and the shoes that you think you would wear with a cropped sweater, because they can change your posture a lot. And because the hemline of a cropped sweater is so visible, it's super important to get it to a place that you feel really good about. And so to figure that out, you can just take a sweater that you really like from your closet. It could be something you knit or something that's commercially knit, and just pin it up at different lengths and try it on over your smooth garment, maybe with like some flowing lines in the shoes that you plan to wear, and see what you think and how you like it. And then measure that distance between the armhole and the hemline, keeping in mind that the depth of the arm sigh may impact that. So if you have a very loosely fitted arm on the garment, or if you have sort of a very snug arm or sleeve on the garment, that could impact how far your hemline extends from that point. But it's a good way to begin gauging whether or not you want to knit something like that, you like the look, and then if so, exactly how much of the body you will knit. I've also found that playing around with deep hem features is a lot of fun on a cropped sweater. And this could include, you know, like 3 or maybe 4 inches of some kind of ribbing. It could also include a split hem where the back extends a little bit lower than the front of the sweater and there's a split in it. And those are kind of fun because you start those flat. You don't have to worry about joining in the round and twisting your cast on. You're knitting those flat for some length of ribbing and then joining it together a little bit later on. So that can be a lot of fun too. I encourage you to give a cropped sweater maybe another glance, look at some of the projects on Ravelry, and think about whether and how this could fit into your own wardrobe. I certainly enjoy wearing my crop sweaters, and I feel like my productivity and my output of some different sweaters I want to knit is a little bit higher because I'm knitting something that doesn't require quite as much yarn or knitting time. I am currently knitting my 5th pair of Socks versus Colorwork mitts in Knit Spin Farm self-striping yarn. And I have plans for giving away all of these pairs this week. There are some folks that I am very keen to thank after they have been so incredibly supportive during the time that I was getting chemo, and just really showering me with love and attention, and I want to present them with a gift. And so I've decided that Mitten Day, which is October 14th on the Norwegian calendar, this is the Primstav, or the calendar that is presented on a flat stick, kind of like a ruler or yardstick, and important days have little symbols. October 14th has been represented with a mitten. It's sort of like the unofficial start to winter. Knitters have interpreted this as a time to look through all of your hand-knit objects and make sure that they're in good shape and good condition, maybe knitting something new or doing some repairs. And so I've determined that I want to share a little bit about the Primstav and Mitten Day in a card that I give each recipient along with a pair of mittens. So I'm going to be handing those out a little bit later this week. I've kind of assembled all of the elements and I'll be passing them out. I'm really excited about it. The 5th and final pair is knit in the colorway Conifer. I'm not sure when I will see the recipient of this particular pair, so they may be given a little bit later. But I'm on the 2nd mitt, and I'm about to put the thumb gusset stitches on hold, so I'm not too far off from finishing. It could still happen this week. Ever-expanding skill set. I have been having a great time cooking and baking with pumpkin. This began in late September and continues. I've made pumpkin scones, pumpkin whoopie pies from a book called Better Baking that I adore, and also a cheesy baked pumpkin pasta with kale that was recommended to me on Instagram by Mary Made Mary. And I really like it. Samuel was bonkers for this dish. So I think I will be making it again very soon. It could go into regular rotation for this fall and winter, I think. It's super cheesy, it's easy to make, and I made a big dish for us and also a small dish that I was able to deliver to a neighbor who just got back from a trip. So that felt great, and I will be posting links to some of these recipes in case you want to try them out. I did find that the recipe for pumpkin scones on Sally's Baking Addiction is superior to another one that I had tried that was like a Starbucks copycat kind of recipe. And I've got to say, Sally's Baking Addiction, she really knows her baking. And I think that's a great recipe to turn to. And I admire Sally for always, always, always having weights of ingredients in her recipes. I think it makes them easier to be successful at home. For Off the Shelf today, I'm going to share a poem titled Song for Autumn by Mary Oliver. This first appeared in Poetry Magazine, May 2005. Until I found this on the Poetry Foundation website, I did not know this poem at all, and I have been enjoying getting to know it and reading it multiple times since I found it a few weeks ago. Song for Autumn by Mary Oliver. Don't you imagine the leaves dream now how comfortable it will be to touch the earth instead of the nothingness of the air and the endless freshets of wind? And don't you think the trees, especially those with mossy hollows, are beginning to look for the birds that will come, six, a dozen, to sleep inside their bodies? And don't you hear the goldenrod whispering goodbye, the everlasting being crowned with the first tuffets of snow? The pond stiffens, and the white field over which the fox runs so quickly brings out its long blue shadows. The wind wags its many tails. And in the evening, the piled firewood shifts a little, longing to be on its way. I think this poem is deserving of another go, so I'm going to share it again in the style of Robert Bly. Song for Autumn. Don't you imagine the leaves dream now how comfortable it will be to touch the earth instead of the nothingness of the air and the endless freshets of wind? And don't you think the trees, especially those with mossy hollows, are beginning to look for the birds that will come, six, a dozen, to sleep inside their bodies? And don't you hear the goldenrod whispering goodbye, the everlasting being crowned with the first tuffets of snow? The pond stiffens, and the white field over which the fox runs so quickly brings out its long blue shadows. The wind wags its many tails, and in the evening the piled firewood shifts a little, longing to be on its way. Thank you for joining me. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week full of time for all of the crafting you enjoy. Take care.